just turn this on for right now, Steve. I'll get back to it. Good morning. Super excited to see everybody this morning. So thankful that you've made time to come and gather with God's people as the church to celebrate a resurrected Savior. I'm so excited about that. I want to just give a couple updates on some things going on in our bulletin just to let everybody know. First and foremost, I know many of our young people are excited about our egg hunt. And so what we'll do as soon as our corporate services are over, we'll have you go out into the fellowship hall and then Mandy will take it from there and try to organize you as best you can. So young people, go to the fellowship hall and you'll find Mandy. All right. Another quick update just before, so I don't forget this, is Dining with Dignity is next Saturday. That's an outreach that we do in Lexington to help feed some people that will enjoy a meal. And so let us know who's going to be a part of that next Saturday. Yeah, let her know by Wednesday that you want to be a part of that. That way we know who all is going to go. It's a low cost. It's a low output ministry effort that we do. But I promise you, you'll have a good time and you'll enjoy it. So if you're interested in that, let either Cindy or Krisha know. Also, you'll see in our bulletin there, we won't be having our normal evening services tonight, right? That's on purpose to allow you to have some more time to spend with your family, to have some fellowship and some fun and do whatever you guys do on a resurrected Sunday. So if you show up here tonight, you'll be by yourself because I won't be here, right? Also, you'll see there the Paint by Numbers Women's Fellowship. That's the 25th. I saw somebody posted on Facebook some options. This looks like some really cool options for you all to paint. If you want some more information about that, you see it there. Let somebody know. The 18th is our graduation banquet. I'll bring your attention. We did get an addition there as we added Jaden Bartram. So he's graduating out there about the women's retreat. That information is still there. If you have any questions, talk to Brittany to go from there, right? And then also, as always, the Hopeless Pregnancy Center. I pray that you guys are keeping them in your prayer, in your prayers. And then also, if you're interested in serving, you see the website there that you can go and get signed up to do that, right? Also, want to give everyone a quick reminder and also thank June and Mark. They have made a wonderful backdrop in the fellowship hall. There it is. And we would encourage you to go and get your picture made, right, with your family. And you can maybe make them sit still or be like our family, take multiples until everyone's happy with the way the picture turned out. Whatever your family does, right? But man, that's out there. Take advantage of that. The electricity bill is paid at least for this month. And so there's no hurry to turn the lights off. You can stay for as long as you want. Take as many pictures as you want out there. But if you see Mark and June, be sure and thank them because I think that took a lot of work. It looks like it did, right? And then also, we have a birthday to celebrate today. Molly's birthday is today. Thank you all. And then also, just as always, a reminder, you know, we say this on a regular basis. Hey, man, we are a family. We come together as a family. We do life as a family. And we also want to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries together as a family. And so, hey, keep sending those pictures. We want to celebrate that. But what we're going to do right now is I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get ready to receive and do our worship, and our musicians will help lead us in that. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for our small group studies that have just wrapped up. Lord, I'm just so thankful for the men and women that are committed to teaching and leading those classes. So thankful for them. So thankful for the lesson today focused on our resurrected Savior. Lord, so thankful for our time that we have right now of worship as we gather here not to be consumers today, but to be producers of worship as we understand that the only thing in our lives worthy of worship is God. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that we set aside the thoughts of next week, we set aside the thoughts of earlier in the week so we can come right now to truly focus on you, to lift up songs of praise to you, and to understand how...
I invite you, let us stand. There you go. Let us stand, Big G. He's ready to worship the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And let us sing of that wonderful time that down at the cross, our Savior gave his life for us. Let us sing. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
We sing glory to his name, for on that day, the man of sorrows gave his life on the cross for us so that we could be free forevermore. So let us sing.
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God. The sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' name. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of gold. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem. Reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, always free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Now the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor unto thee. See, the snow is red. empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, and honor unto thee. And Psalm 68, 19 through 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. Amen. You may be
saved. Celebrate the Lord's resurrection this morning. For the past couple of weeks, the choir has put together some of these songs that truly bring about the message of the resurrection of Christ. We will start off this morning by singing a new song to us. You may have heard it, but it proclaims that he is the King of Kings, and it says, praise be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And it talks about that on that day, as his death was completed and his resurrection was completed. The next piece that we will be singing this morning, we sang it last year. It was what we call our Easter medley. And it put together multiple songs that spoke of the resurrection and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will culminate, as it once did, with singing Hallelujah, Christ Arose. So if you know some of these songs, please join us. We will sing this. Let's pray. Steve, there we go. We're very thankful for that wonderful time. And, you know, it's a classic example of, like I was saying earlier, even though I'm confident most of you enjoyed the choir there, is the reality is that wasn't for you, that was for God, right? It was to let him know how worthy of worship he is and how much we appreciate and thank for him. Now, one of the side benefits is you do enjoy it, and that's a good thing, but that's a perfect example of that. So I just want to say thanks to the choir for all their hard work and doing that, and also to Crystal and Raphael for cleaning up everything that the choir can't quite figure out. Just so thankful for you all in doing that. Just so blessed. I read an article recently, and it was talking about, and this was secondary to preaching God's word in a biblical way, that this was this author's opinion, that the most important thing for a church to do to model behavior for their young people is to sing like they mean it, right? And I read that, I'm like, man, I feel like Dallasburg is doing well in this department. And so I pray and encourage you guys, you know, moving forward is, you know, pray like you're singing to God, because the reality is you are. You are producing worship to Him. Our children are excited today because they get to stay with us today, so no children's church. I can just hear how excited all the kids are. But I'm thankful for that as well, is for the church to worship together, right? I understand there's a reason that the children go and they do their children's thing, and I support that. But it's also good for the children to also sit with us in corporate worship and to see what it looks like and to also hear God's word proclaimed from the pulpit, right? I know they're hearing it in their classes, but they get to hear it from up here today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke is my personal favorite gospel, and so if given the option, I'm usually going to head to Luke. That's where I like to spend a lot of my time. And I was doing some reading earlier in the week, and researchers have realized and have found that fear and anxiety is increasing in our world, right? The diagnosis of many of these diseases is just increasing at a rate that has a lot of people very concerned, right? And so there's a lot of research on it, and some of the leading research tends to believe one of the reasons that this anxiety is continuing to increase is that people and humans understand their mortality, right? They understand that they're going to die someday, and what that causes in many people is anxiety and fear, because they're afraid, or they're concerned, or they're worried. This is such a popular research theory. It actually has its own acronym. It's called TMT, and it's called Terror Management Theory. And there's all these different coping skills and things that they give to help people understand this. And, you know, quite often when I read this research, I'm like, man, I could have saved them a lot of money, because I have an answer for the terror management theory, and the answer is Christ. Right? You want to know how you deal with all of these issues in life and how you don't live a life afraid and scared? It's knowing that your eternal destination is secure because what Christ accomplished on the cross many years ago. And that's what we come here today to celebrate, is what Christ accomplished. Let me read to you what Luke records here in his gospel. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, God's word says this: "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Let's pray. Dear God, as we gather here today, Lord, we just first and foremost want to just thank you for all of the blessings that you were pouring out on us. Lord, we just ask that through the indwelling of the Spirit that you continue to open our eyes to these blessings. Make us a more joyful people. Make us a more thankful people, Lord, because we understand that the most important thing that could ever happen to us has happened, and that's our security and your work upon the cross. And so, Lord, we pray that not just on today as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but we pray every day and every Sunday that we understand the work of your redeeming actions. We understand that your works upon the cross has been the payment for our sins. And because of that, Lord, we're free. We're free to live in a world that is dark, but we're free to live in a world that we can see the blessings, and we can see the love and the grace, and then we then get to go out as members of your ministry team and show that love and mercy and grace to others. Lord, we're just so thankful that you call us to that. We're so thankful that you give us this wonderful day to gather in this building as the church, to take a deep dive into your word, to understand prayerfully deeper what your word teaches. We pray that the Holy Spirit comes beside us right now and reveals to us things in this scripture that has previously been unknown to us. And that we pray that we can hold those truths, and then we can go out into the field, into the lost world, to be loving and kind to others, but most importantly, looking for windows of opportunity to share the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we come to this very familiar piece of scripture. You know, one of the things that I think your Sunday school teacher probably dealt with this a little bit this morning, there's a little bit here, is that, you know, this is a story that a lot of people know, and they know it really well, and there's a tendency to want to find ways to maybe dress it up or to add something new, but the reality is it doesn't need to be dressed up. It doesn't need anything new. It doesn't need anything fancy. We don't have any smoke machines. We don't have any laser lights for you this morning. The reality is this, that Christ is sufficient, and this story is sufficient for you this morning. And so for many of you this morning, you might wonder, right, well, what's new in this for me? Well, there's always something new in this for you. There's always a deeper truth for you to understand. There's always a better way for you to understand how to apply what is occurring here in your daily life. So, man, I say all that to this. Man, don't just sit here right now and put your brain on park and be like, I know what this story is, and I know what Jesus did, and, you know, I'm thankful for it, and hopefully I can get home and get out of this tight clothes as quick as I can, right? No, don't do that, please. Let the Spirit guide you and teach you, and we can understand more of what Christ accomplished, and hopefully we can grow to a deeper understanding. So we jump right in there. The first day, it was pretty interesting. The Jews, they did not assign names to the days of the week. They just counted them, and it was all based on Sabbath, right, the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath was Saturday, and that would have been the seventh day of the week. And so they wouldn't have said, you know, happy it's Friday. They would have said, hey, happy it's the sixth day, or that would have been actually the fifth day, right? And so the first day would be Sunday. And so just to, and I'm sure most of you are already aware of this, if you ever wondered why we gather as the church on Sunday, it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what we do every Sunday when we gather. The reason we do this on Sunday is because of this is the day that Christ arose from the grave. And it's supposed to remind us to always be thankful for his work on the cross. And so if nothing else happens today, I pray that we can go forward understanding that every day we should be mindful of the cross. Every day we should be mindful of what Christ has already done for us and be mindful of the freedom that we experience in Christ, right? And so we look at that. That's a Sunday. And one of the things that is pretty amazing, an application point here, is that God does what he says he's going to do. Right? Romans chapter 4, verse 21, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. I mean, that's something that I think about a lot. I try to keep my word as best as I can. When I tell someone I'm going to do something, I do it. If I tell someone I'm going to be somewhere, I try my best to be there, and sometimes I fail at that. But the reality is this, is that God has never failed a single promise to anyone. I mean, and just let that sink in for a second. You just really can't apply that to any other relationship that you've ever experienced on this side of glory. Everyone has either let you down, or things have happened, or maybe there was a wreck on the interstate, you couldn't be someplace on time. Something has caused them to not be able to meet their promises except God. And that's one of the amazing things, and there I don't have the time this morning, even though I do feel like I have 2 hours this morning. I don't. Don't worry, Adam. It's not really going to be 2 hours, right? But I don't have enough time remaining this morning to go through and list all the things that God has promised you and what God has delivered. That's just in the biblically based. And then we could even spend even more time, each of you giving a testimony of what God has promised you and shown you in your life. And so there's no way we can do all that, right? But let me give you another verse here to maybe help you think on that a little bit more. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. And so, amazing truth is that God does what he says he's going to do, right? And also, I think there's a clear application point in the first bit of this scripture this morning is these ladies, and we'll talk more about the ladies here in a second, but what were they doing? They were seeking Jesus. They were seeking to find him, right? Now, granted, they were expecting to find a corpse, right? They weren't seeking the risen Savior. We can talk about that a little bit later, but they were seeking Jesus. And so very clearly this morning, I think you would all be better served, including myself, is that if we all grew in our desire to be seeking Jesus every day. Are you seeking him in your conversations? Are you seeking him as you interact with the lost world? Are you seeking Jesus as you sit down with your family and have a meal? Are you seeking Jesus in a car ride as you're taking your kids to school or wherever they're going to go? Right? Are you seeking to glorify Jesus in all these things? The early church, that's exactly what they were doing, and that's what the ladies were doing here. There's a very famous author. His name is Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian neurologist, but he was also Jewish. And he was alive during World War II, and unfortunately, he and his entire family were deported to concentration camps. And unfortunately, he actually ended up in Auschwitz, and so if you guys remember your World War II history, that was a really bad concentration camp to find yourself in. And so while he was there, his nature was, is he's a scientist and he was observing, and he made a very clear observation that people who were in the concentration camps that had a purpose seemed to last and survive longer than those who didn't have a purpose. And so he was able to develop this theory, and again, I could have saved him a lot of work in that, is he realizes that, man, people need a purpose in life. And when you have a purpose in life, you have a way to, it's easier for you to persevere. It's easy for you to deal with shortcomings. It's easier for you to deal with hard days. And the reality is this, is one of the things we're reminded of this Resurrection Sunday is that we have a purpose in life also, and that's to share the gospel. That's to honor Christ. That's to be seeking him. And so on days when it's tough and you're like, I'm about to choke somebody out, like today's not the day, right? Somebody's going to get it today. Here's a reminder, Christ is sufficient. Your purpose in life is to glorify him. And so sometimes you hear these, you know, these scholars or always want to debate, what's my purpose in life? I can answer that quite simply straight from Scripture. Your purpose in life is to glorify God. And the wonderful truth is there are as a million billion ways. Is that a real number? I don't even know. There's a lot of ways, as many ways as you can think to glorify God, right? And what's our basis in Scripture? How do we glorify God? By giving him the glory, by pointing others to him, by doing work with a work as if we're working for the Lord. There's a lot of ways to glorify him. Being wonderful mothers and fathers. I know so many of you are blessed this morning to have your grandchildren here with you. To being wonderful grandparents, to being wonderful aunts and uncles. Man, as you know, one of the things that I'm so appreciative of in my children's life is this whole church is their family. And I've seen them get on them, and I've seen them be nice to them, and that's a good thing. And I pray that we're all okay with that. Right? Because these wonderful children that are with us today, they are a real blessing, and we should treat them as such. It's really important. And that's just one of the ways we can glorify God. It's just one of the ways we can do it. Right? We move on there. Verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The man said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead. I'm going to stop right there. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, this is the main message. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of Scripture. Everything points to this very simple truth, is that Christ is not dead, he is alive. That's the reality. The amazing thing is this, is there is no tomb to visit. There are no flowers to lay on a grave. There is no time that we want to go and commit, you know, and go and hang out at a grave, because it's an empty tomb. Every other religious leader, and I say religious leader in air quotes, that has existed, you can go and visit their graves. You can go visit Muhammad's grave, right? You can go find Buddha's grave. You can go and see all these things. But the reality for us is our Savior has no grave, because he sits at the right hand of the Father as we speak, interceding on our behalf for those who love him. And so how can you go out into the world and have hope? We sang the song this morning. It's because our hope in Christ is a what? A living hope. It's not just a hope that, oh, I hope I'm working enough, and I hope I'm going to make it in, and man, I hope somebody thinks I'm special because, you know, I wore a special suit today. No, it's not based on any of that. What our hope is based in is our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what matters, and that is the message of the cross, and that is the message of Scripture in itself, right? Let me continue on. He is not here, but has risen. Remember, man, this is important. If you're an underliner, underline this. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise. There's an application point here, is this, is that God has shown us what he's going to do. He's told us what he's going to do. And what we have to do is we have to read Scripture, and we have to have faith that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. All right, we go all the way back to Isaiah 53:10-11, and this is the prophet Isaiah preparing us for the crucifixion of the Messiah. It says this, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Boy, we could spend a whole sermon on that, right? He was put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong the days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Iniquities is just a fancy word for sin, right? And so all the way back in Isaiah, God had given him a vision as a prophet to discuss the crucifixion of Christ. Now, this is something, and you know, we don't want to spend too much time on this, but remember what the cross was, right? The cross was the worst of the worst execution manners that the Romans could come up with. And the Romans were really good at this stuff. I like the painting. It's really good. Thank you for showing it to me. Right? They had spent thousands of years perfecting their way to inflict the most pain they could. They had spent all of this time and effort. It's like, how do we embarrass people? How do we teach people? If you mess with the Roman nation, this is what's coming for you. And that's where your Savior willingly went. And why? Because he knew what the words of Isaiah said. He knew that he must go to the cross and he must be crushed, right? To do what? To go to the cross to be the payment for your sin and for my sin, and for all of the elect, for all of their sins as well. It's an important thing to be thankful and to understand that no matter when life, when you encounter something, you're like, man, I don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on, and God has already told us what's going to happen, right? Maybe not specifically like, oh, you should wear this today, but God has told you that if you trust in his will and if you abide in him and you're obedient to what Scripture teaches, is that he's going to bless you. Now, the reality is that blessing is probably going to look a lot different than what the world would consider a blessing, but Scripture promises you a blessing. Also in Isaiah, we'll look at verse 12 there, chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Now, what's Isaiah talking about there? It's the fact that Christ was crucified in between two criminals. And this is something that, man, I pray that when you see a cross and you think about this, and sometimes you see three crosses, sometimes people put that up for an example, is that the two thieves deserve to be there. But your Savior did not deserve to be there. He had never committed a sin. He had never had a misstep outside of his Father's will. That's the reason that he was then able to willingly go to the cross to be the sacrificial lamb on the cross, because he had no sin. He did not deserve to be there, but you know what he did do? He desired to be there. Because it was his Father's will, and he knew for us to be counted as holy, to be able to put on the righteousness of Christ, that he had to accomplish that work on the cross. Someone had to pay for the sins, and Christ willingly did that. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, these are all prophets, says this, "After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that he may live before him." And Hosea the prophet was also prophesying is that Christ will go into a tomb for 3 days, but on the third day rise and be seen by thousands of people, reminding us and teaching us to what? He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And also this is that death has no control over Christ. Right? And the truth for us is this: a physical death is coming for every single person in this room today. I don't know why I said it that way, right? A death is coming for every single one of you. But the reality is this: a spiritual death doesn't have to happen. That can be helped with Christ. Christ, if when he makes a move on your heart and then you respond towards that calling upon your heart, you can then have your name written to the book of life, to where, guess what? You will live spiritually eternal in the presence of God. The reality is this, is people are headed to one of two destinations, either an eternity in the presence of God, are an eternity in the absence of God, where Scripture tells us will be an eternal suffering, a fire that will be unquenched, where there will be so much pain, there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you are here with us today, and maybe you're not trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to pray on that. I would encourage you to think on that. I would encourage you to read Scripture. I would encourage you to think on what do you believe your final destination is going to be. Are you going to be able to stand in front of an uncreated Creator who we call God? And are you going to be judged guilty? And either Christ will stand up and intercede for you and say, "But he knew me and he will receive a pardon," or you will receive your judgment and spend a life in eternity in the absence of God. The reality is this: one of two of those things are coming. I love when Scripture is very binary. It's either black or it's white. And this discussion is very easy. It's either you're trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're trusting in yourself, or you're trusting in the world. Trusting in yourself and trusting the world, I think many of us have that testimony in our lives. And I think many of us can talk to what that led to. The problems, the heartache, the troubles. But the reality is, if we're trusting Christ, our Lord and Savior, it's not that the troubles go away, but you have a way to deal with them. You have a way to process them. You have a way to have hope. You have a way to continue to get up every morning and be reminded to yourself what Christ did on the cross. And if Christ did on that cross, it's an important thing for us to understand. It's an important thing for us to be thankful for. And again, let me just hit this one more time just to make sure we're all getting it. It's like, we don't just celebrate that on Resurrection Sunday. I know you're dressed up today. A couple of you all, it's like, man, I don't even recognize you. Clean up so good, right? We treat this day as a special day, as we should, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but the reality is you should live every day in light of the cross. Every day you should be reminded of a risen Savior, not just today. We don't want to just focus so much on this that we're like, okay, I went to church on Resurrection Sunday, I'm good, I listened to that guy say a lot of words, it's over. Every day we should be living with understanding of who Christ is. And if we're able to do that, Paul writes this in Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope," right? We have this hope. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." This is what defines us as Christians, is that, are you a hopeful person? Are you a joyful person? Are you at peace with others? Because if you're constantly, I tell people this, if you go out in the world and you encounter someone who's kind of a jerk, man, you just kind of rack that up, it was just a tough day, I encountered somebody, maybe they were having a bad day. But if you go out into the world and all you encounter is jerks, I got some tough news for you this morning, you're the jerk. You're the problem there. And as Christians, we should not be that type of people. Why? Because we should abound in hope. We should abound in peace. We should abound in grace. And we should be looking for opportunities to show others peace, to show others grace, and to show others mercy, right? And one of the ways that we show them love is what? Is we share the truth with them. We share the truth of Christ and what Christ teaches, right? Verse 8, and they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, right? There's a really interesting application point here is that the women had to be reminded, right? They had to be reminded of the things Jesus said, but once the angel reminded them, what did they do? They instantly went back and started telling people. Started telling what they saw, started telling what was going on. And so, I mean, there's just no better way to mention this except looking at what we know as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, this is what I would like to challenge you on, right? And I would encourage you to do this audit of your own lives. Does Matthew 28 sound like what you look like every day? Is this what you're doing, right? Are you out sharing the gospel? Are you speaking truth into people's lives? Are you showing them kindness and mercy? Are you trying to tell them of who Christ is? And most importantly, this is what always gets me. I think so many of us are like hens setting on eggs, and we don't want to share our testimonies. Man, share those testimonies. Speak to Christ. This is what Christ has done for me. This is how Christ saw me through this tragedy. This is how Christ has blessed me with this. Man, so many of us are like, oh, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. You clearly have been commanded in Scripture to do that. To share what Christ is doing for you, to speak truth into people's life. Man, if you love them, I don't know how you can keep from sharing the gospel. I mean, there's days that I spend with people, and I have to tell myself, I was like, Michael, it's time to let somebody else talk now, right? Because, man, sometimes I just get so excited about what Christ has done. I get so excited of what I see him doing in my life and what he's doing in your life. So I wonder sometimes, like, man, how do they not shut up at times, right? My beautiful bride, the other night, we were sitting at the table, and she said, Michael, I think I'd just like to eat dinner in silence if I could, right? I'm like, I get it. Sometimes I get on my own nerves, I talk so much. But the reality is, and I pray that you all can say this, if it's not true, talk to me later, is that I want to show you who Christ is. I want to remind you what he's doing in your life. I want you to open up your eyes and see the blessings that he's given you, even when maybe you don't see them. That's the eyes I want us all to have. I want us to see who Christ is. I want us to be reminded of who he is. And I want it to create in us a joyful attitude so you're the most joyful person when you're in a group of people. That people are like, man, I don't know why that guy's always smiling. And I pray that one time they ask you, like, well, sit on down. Let me tell you why I'm smiling. I have bad days too, right? I have days that don't go well. I have things that don't go according to plan. Like we just had that Friday, right? We had these plans made. We were going to go out and feed people from the floods. And the plan completely changed 30 minutes before we were supposed to leave. I didn't see a single person get mad and flip a table over and be like, this is ridiculous. What did people do? They adapted and we figured it out. This is what Christians should look like. This is the kind of people we should be, right? It's just really important. And again, you guys know this. You know this. I'm just simply trying to remind you of this. Hey, there's something else that I want to mention here that I think oftentimes gets skipped here in Scripture. And it's something that I just don't have the words in my vocabulary to explain how thankful I am for the wonderful women of our church. There's something here that I think gets missed a lot. The women see the full cycle here, right? The women are at the cross. The only other apostle at the cross is John. All the other apostles are hiding. They're like, listen, I don't want to end up on that cross. Like, let's go hide out. Like, he said he was going to make it. I don't know if he is or not, right? I mean, so they're hiding. So the women are at the cross, right? The women see him put into the tomb, right? Not, the apostles don't see that, right? And then who does the angel first appear to? He appears to the women. And I think this gets lost on us often, is that in the Jewish culture, in the time of the recording of the scripture, ladies did not have the highest position in Jewish culture, right? They were for sure secondary to the men in their families. But the reality is this story elevates women to be on par with everyone else, because who did this story come to first? Women. And I want to make a very clear application point here. And if somebody wants to fight me later, we'll do it. We'll get out in the parking lot and we'll go at it, right? I don't think there's a church that would still exist in this county if it wasn't for the women in that church. And I believe that. I'm so thankful for it. The other day when I had to plan something, no offense, deacons, I did not call a single deacon. I called Cresha and Cindy Wilhoit, and I was like, hey, how are we gonna organize this, right? And so I think there's an important truth there. I think all of you need to be appreciative and more thankful for the women in your life, for the women that God's blessed you with, whether it be your mom, right? Whether it be a grandmother, whether it be an aunt, whoever it may be, you need to be more thankful for the women in your life. I can't imagine where I would be without the, I'm not going to get emotional, where I would be without for all the wonderful women of Dallasburg Baptist Church. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for all their work. And yeah, I think it all started here at the cross, and I pray that we're all continuing that forward. Be thankful for those. I got myself all worked up. Verse 11. Hey, the scripture has that effect on me too, man. Usually I can hold it in. It gets to me sometimes too, in front of everybody. But these words seem to them an idle tale. So the women run back, and they tell the apostles, and the apostles are like, well, they're just straight up lying. It's an idle tale, right? And they did not believe them. But our guy Peter, he's very impulsive, right? But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened, right? And so the apostles' initial doubt, I think, has a clear application to us. It's about faith. And how is our faith? Is our faith strong? You guys have taken a look at the Gospels. You know that on a consistent basis, Christ told them what was going to happen. He said, hey, they're going to arrest me. I'm going to get beaten. I'm going to go to the cross. But man, I'm going to see you in a couple days. I'm going to see you in 3 days later. And what did Peter say? Nuh-uh. No way. That's not going to happen to you. And what did Christ have to rebuke Peter? He goes, get behind. He called him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And so even after all that time of them knowing what was going to happen and being told by the individual it was going to happen to, he told them straight to their face that they still did not believe when it happened. I think it's very easy for us to understand here is that we got to look at our faith. And we have to be faithful. And even when things are looking bad and are, like I like to say, our boat's taking on water and it looks like this is going to fall apart, the reality of this is God has promised us that he won't do what? He won't forsake us or leave us. And we have to be faithful in those situations. And I will tell you this, and I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in the lives of others in our church. So often people will turn to their faith in a valley. Ooh, it's hard. I gotta turn to the Lord. I gotta pray. I gotta hit my knees and pray. Man, what I would encourage you to learn to do is also be thankful on the hilltop, right? Be praising him there. Be thankful for what he's done to you. You're on top of the hill because of what he's blessed you with. And just kind of develop this mindset of, like scripture says, is to be praying without ceasing, right? Now, I do think that many people have come to know the Lord as their Savior in a valley, right, in hardships. And quite often, that's when people are most willing to listen to the gospel, right? And like I said, last Friday, we handed out over, was it 125 meals? More than that. Okay, see, thankful for women correcting me, right? Over the 125 meals, right? And every single person, well, there was one house that didn't want it, but besides that one house, everyone was willing to receive a meal. And they're at a low point, and they're ready to receive help. They're ready to listen. And so many people come to know the Lord because of that. But we have to be faithful to God in all stages of our life. When things are going great and when things are not going so great, from our perspective, we have to be faithful. Jesus talks about this quite often. Luke chapter 24, verse 25, and this is Jesus when he's on the road of Emmaus, and he's risen, and he's talking to people. And he said to them, O foolish ones. You don't want Jesus calling you a foolish one, right? And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And so we read that, And we think about that sometimes. And we have the fullness of Scripture that helps us and teaches us. And the prophets have spoken and told us what's going to happen. We need to be what? We need to be faithful to Scripture and be faithful to what it teaches. Right? When Jesus is calming the storm, and this is recorded in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, and he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And so all the way back to this original point that we're talking about fear and what fear looks like, I believe this, and I believe Scripture clearly teaches this, is you become afraid when you have a deficiency of faith. When you're like, "Man, I don't think God can see me through this," you start getting scared. Or, "I don't think I'm going to survive this," you start getting scared. The reality of this is God has promised you, again, He is not going to leave you. But we have to be careful as this fear and doubt creeps in on us. We have to resist it. And how do we resist it? By going to Scripture and being reminded of what God has promised He's going to do. Right? He is for us. Right? And then probably the last but not least important scripture here on this subject is Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And this is Jesus, and He's answering the apostles about who can be saved. And He says this, He goes, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible.'" You can't save yourself through your works. You can't save yourself from, quote unquote, being good. You can't save yourself by trying to, you know, earn your way. But what can you do? "But with God, all things are possible." And how do we know that they're possible? It's because of our faith and our trust and our willingness to be obedient to God's word and what He teaches us. And I'll be the first to say, there are some things in Scripture that are very difficult to be obedient to. And like, "Man, are you sure? Are you sure that's what I'm supposed to do? Are you sure I'm supposed to be willing to forgive people 7 times 70? Are you sure I'm supposed to do that?" And what are we supposed to do? Faithful to God's word. He has given us an instruction manual. And I pray that we don't turn to it just when things are bad, that we turn to it at all times. We are trusting in Him. We have faith in Him. We believe in what Christ says and what He has done. And most importantly, how's that shown to us? It's exactly what we celebrate today of His atoning work on the cross. Now, I know some tough guys. I know we've got some tough guys in this church. I've seen them do some things. I've seen some guys here get shot with nail guns and be okay about it. I've seen some tough stuff. But the reality is this, I ain't never seen anybody here go to the grave and me see him again later, right? That's a different kind of toughness. That's a different kind of resilience that we just don't see. But Scripture clearly tells us, you know who did that? Jesus Christ. And the purpose of that is, number one, to fulfill prophecy. Absolutely. Number two, to be the payment of sin. That's what we'd be most thankful for. But also, three, is to show us the authority and power that Christ has, that not even death can hold Him. That is the authority He has. And I pray that, again, as we just continue to celebrate what Resurrection Sunday represents, and I pray that, I'd say a lot of you are probably gathering with family and friends a little bit later, and maybe you're going to have a Resurrection Sunday meal. I pray that that time can be a time of fellowship. It can be a time of thanksgiving. It can be a time of understanding how blessed God has, how blessed you are in God, how blessed you are to be sitting with your family, how wonderful it is to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. I think all too often, and this is something I had modeled for me in my life, is that we act a certain way on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday, it's game on. It's like, I'm living for the world. I'm in this rat race, and I'm going to win. My rat's the fastest. And the reality is this, that is not what Scripture teaches. It's not what it teaches for a Resurrection Sunday. It's not what it teaches for tomorrow Monday. We are to be Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, focusing upon Him, sharing the gospel, putting the Great Commission into effect, and teaching and showing others what Christ has done for us. Stop setting on your testimonies like you're guarding them as gold, right? Share those testimonies. Tell people what He's done. Realize you're part of God's ministry team. Why did He cast you to be on the ministry team? I don't know, right? Because you're not worthy to be on it, but He's called you to be on His ministry team. And the primary way that you do that is by sharing your testimony and being graceful and kind to others, right? And then the last thing, and this is just want to share this for just in case there's someone either watching at home or someone with us this morning that's not trusting in Christ, their Lord and Savior. And I just want to give you the whole gospel in a nutshell. And this is what we celebrate today, is that Christ promised that what he was going to do, right? Christ said that he showed that he was able to live a life without sin. And I know that's hard for us to process. I saw a couple families this morning that looked a little frazzled this morning. I think maybe the early morning sunrise service may have caused a little intense fellowship in some homes, right? So some of you were sent it before you even got here this morning, right? I get it, right? But what Christ did is he lived a life with no sin. He never got upset at his kids and told them to put their clothes on, or why were you leaving with no shoes on, right? He never got upset with anybody. He didn't have kids, right? But he never got upset with people. He lived a life without any sin. And because of that, he was able to go to the cross to be the payment, or as Scripture says, the propitiation. It's one of my favorite words in Scripture. To be the payment for our sins. So now that you and I that put our faith in him, our sins have already been paid. And then they killed him on the cross. They stuck him in a tomb. But like Scripture says, he goes, don't worry, I'll be back in a couple days. And he showed back up in 3 days, showing his authority over death. And so if there's anything that I would encourage you in life to trust in, it's Jesus Christ. Because he does what he says he's going to do. He will continue to build you up and bless you. And if you want to live a life that has less fear in it and less worry and less concerns, become a Christian. Right? Not that all those things disappear, but what Christ gives you is a way to understand that, a way to process it, and a way to deal with it. John chapter 20, verse 29, I'm going to end on this. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? But blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet believed. And so as the apostles struggled with believing, and they saw, right? They saw him feed the probably 15,000, right? They saw him heal people. They saw him bring others back from death. They saw all these, but they still struggled in their faith. What Christ is saying here and recorded by John is this, is that how blessed are we who've never physically seen Christ, but we believe in him because of Scripture. And that's what I encourage each and every one of you to do today, is to grow in your faith, grow in your understanding of Christ, and believe in his atoning work on the cross. And again, we don't celebrate it just today. We celebrate it every day. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, just so thankful for your atoning work on the cross. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue our sanctification process, as we continue growing to look more like you and less like the world, that we will be joyful in that and thankful and willing to share our testimony. And Lord, we understand that when these trials come and our faith is put to the test, that we should be thankful for those trials as it grows our faith muscles, as it strengthens our desire. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for the simple truth is there's just one or two options, as either trusting in you or trusting in the world. And I think everyone here this morning that is trusting in you can share a testimony and says that trusting in the world just leads to heartache and loss and fear, but trusting in you as their Lord and Savior leads to joy, leads to blessing, leads to a better understanding of this fallen world. And so, Lord, again, just impress upon us through the indwelling of the Spirit that we don't just think of you on Resurrection Sunday, that we think of you on every day and every Sunday as we continue to grow in our desire to be like you and to be thankful for what you did on the cross on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and let us sing.
Triumph over his foe. He arose a victor.
Savior from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. From the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over foes. Forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign.